hard fought in Wisconsin. The power of good old-fashioned political organizing got a licking last night in the Dairyland State, the Badger State, despite a grassroots campaign to oust a freshman Republican governor who petition signers thought had overreached with some of his policies. Voters decided to keep Scott Walker in office.
I'm very emotional because we all had a lot invested in this. This was it. If we didn't win tonight, the end of the USA as we know it just happened. That's it. We just got outspent $34 million to $4 million. And we don't have any other resource left but the people you see here behind me. And if the people you see here behind me can't get it done tonight, it's done. Democracy's dead.
Wow. One of the volunteers for the Democratic challenger to Governor Walker, Tom Barrett, tearing up there on CNN. It was organized labor that was the target of Scott Walker and organized labor that organized this recall campaign. What kind of setback is this, Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times?
Well, it's pretty brutal. It wasn't even close. And, unions have struggled in this country for a long time. And, the municipal unions were the only last really strong unions that we had in some ways. If you take them out, only 7% of the workforce is unionized. So this is a pretty big blow.
And would you say that there's a kind of a conceptual shift that goes along with this, that, number one, you've got the union organizers here whose visibility was at least as unsettling to voters in Wisconsin as all of the out-of-state money that Scott Walker was able to attract in this campaign? People felt that the unions were as much manipulating the system by calling for this recall as the out-of-state money was, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, I definitely would. I mean, the problem is, the pensions have become the latest flashpoint for unionism in the country, and something needs to be done about it. I mean, there's no question about it. Cities and towns are going broke because the pensions are out of whack. But the unions have come to feel that Scott Walker and a number of other conservatives are abrogating their rights and making it impossible, basically to stay in business. And so they feel like they have no choice. The conservatives feel like they have no choice but to pour money in. And so the poor people of Wisconsin feel like they're getting beaten around the head by both sides.
Well, certainly we talked a moment ago with some folks up in Wisconsin who said that fatigue was really a factor here and that people just had enough. But let's talk a little bit about this transformation from the union organizing and role in politics being a mainstream phenomenon versus being a fringe phenomenon. If union organizing and union membership has declined significantly in the United States, as you say, why wouldn't we expect the union participation in politics to be more of a fringe operation? They look more like a special interest with 7% membership than they do with 45% membership.
Well, sure. That's absolutely right. And they now have to pick their spots. They don't have the kind of cash that business has or that, in the modern era after the Supreme Court ruling in Citizens United, they can't muster the kind of cash. So they do wind up acting more and more like a special interest because, they're trying to pick their spots. They're trying to pick their battles. And they're trying to, upend a 30-year trend, which is awfully, awfully hard to do. So they wind up looking sort of more small-minded than they mean to. But I think they're also operating on some level out of desperation.
It seems as though Scott Walker and the Tea Party folks that really spearheaded his campaign against the unions in Wisconsin have accomplished two really important things, at least legacy events that we're going to live with for a while. And the first one, of course, is the obvious, that collective bargaining rights are perceived as some sort of special dispensation granted to union workers that most Americans don't get and that union members particularly don't deserve. Are we stuck with that as a mainstream position now?
We may be. I don't want to quite overstate what happened here, but it does have a little bit of a feel to me like Ronald Reagan firing the air traffic controller.
I agree.
That's the biggest that still remains the biggest moment in modern times for unions, because it signaled to corporate America that they could run roughshod over unions and they could, you know, do things like file for bankruptcy to get out of union contracts and so on and so forth. So what you have in this case is similarly a governor basically saying, we are going to abrogate collective bargaining and certain rights that municipal governments have granted to their workers. We're going to take them away. We can't afford them. We have to do it this way. But he did it in a very roughshod way compared to the way Andrew Cuomo did it in New York. I mean, he got givebacks from the unions, but he did it as a Democrat does, as unions are our allies, we don't hate them, we're going to get some things back, but we're not going to take away collective bargaining.
Well, you know, I think that's very interesting, because Patco said a line could be crossed back in the Reagan era. And I think if Scott Walker's tactics got some pushback and he lost his majority in the Senate there in Wisconsin, the idea that a line has been crossed here and that's an example around the country, I think that is.
Let me just tell you very quickly, in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, a small town that is absolutely broke, the conservatives who are the state legislatures, they don't want to do a tax increase or even a belt tightening. They want a receiver. They want to file for bankruptcy so that a receiver can come to Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and abrogate all the union contracts. They think that's the way to proceed. And my fear is that this will happen again and again and again now that we have the Scott Walker example.
Finally, does money beat feet on the ground in organizing in a campaign in Wisconsin?
It sure did seem to, didn't it?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Joan Ocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times, taking a look at the union implications for the retention of Wisconsin voters of their governor, Scott Walker. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.